Prime Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. I went into the kitchen the other day to see my wife. I thought I'd just check up on shop floor opinion. And I asked her which was her favourite of the four My Music contestants. And she replied, the one who looks the youngest.
What a rotten thing to say.
A sweet thing to say. Here they are, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, I'll be interested to know what you think might link these two performances, with perhaps a drop of help from me and from Frank. First, this. And now this.
Oh, why did my heart go boom? Me and my heart go boom, boom-biddy-boom.
Now, the violinist was, is, a relative of, no, of the singer. Can you work any of that out, I wonder? Violin playing 1930s band leader, playing the violin better than any of the other violin playing 1930s band leaders I can think of, and his daughter singing with his band there in 1939.
Well, yes. Would it be related to Nectar?
Nectar. No. We're playing much better violin than, much better than Ambrose ever played, I can promise you that.
Would it be anything to do with Teabag?
Yes, go on.
Well, then it might be Sidney Lipton.
Yes, Sidney Lipton playing that Vivaldi recently for fun, and I borrowed the recording from him, and then the record of his band with his daughter Celia Lipton singing in 1939, yes.
Besides playing the violin better than any of them, he also had the best tail suit of anybody.
From the back.
He was ramrod straight. He was wonderful.
I think Roy Fox might be a bit of a challenge, I agree. Yes.
Probably the same dress.
Took it in turns. Frank, it's your turn. You described this once in one of our programmes as that wonderful record, quite right too. But can you recognise just its opening bars? It's the later part that's best known, I think.
It must be the most recognisable arrangement of
a
pop song ever made.
Yes.
George Shearing.
One of my favourites.
George Shearing.
That's right. And later on, the voice of
Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole, yes. Let There Be Love.
Let There Be Love. I suddenly thought that Roy Fox and Sidney Lipton were both wearing the tails of Hoffman.
Ian, I don't think you ever starred in this opera, but if you did, you would have to be in the title role, I think, so that rather rules out Tosca, doesn't it? Yes, how right you are. It is, in fact,
the Flying Dutchman overture.
That's right, the overture of the Flying Dutchman. One of our supporters in Croydon, Mr. Stanley Howard, told me about something that happened in my hometown, actually, but a long time before my time. Dr. Bennett was conducting the local symphony orchestra in that very overture, the Flying Dutchman overture, conducting like mad when one of his cuffs flew off in the direction of the second violins. And a lady second violinist deftly caught the cuff on her bow. Splendid moment. Because we use her in the England cricket team.
Dennis Noble told me once singing in Belshazzar's Feast, the Walton Oratorio, somewhere, and only he saw that when the chorus was singing, that one of the tenors of the chorus on a top note did a tremendous projection on the note and his upper denture flew out And he said it was amazing because it must have happened to him before because he put out his hand and caught it and put it back. The awful thing was, it's a serious, serious and solemn work, and he, as the principal, so he was going... and he was the only person who'd seen it.
Dennis, your question. Words by a clever songwriter.
It's very nice to go travelling to Paris, London and Rome. It's oh so nice to go traveling, but it's so much nicer, yes, it's so much nicer to come home.
Dennis, when people ask Sammy Khan which comes first, the words or the music, what does he reply?
First comes the telephone call. Yeah, to him,
commissioning the song.
Yeah. That's one of those that I think of privately as one of a kind of ex-certificate song because it's Frank Khan Stein.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Frank Sinatra, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Let's listen for a still moment to some lovely singing. Jill Gomez in a song by Debussy. I think that French must be the most beautiful of all sung languages, but I could be wrong. Am I wrong? John, which in your view is the most musical language?
Italian. But I do agree, when it is beautifully sung, it's marvellous. Yes. But otherwise, I think you can get away with Italian much more easily, can't you, Ian?
Absolutely. The first singing teacher I ever went to, who was an Englishman, in fact, when I was studying law at university, and he said, to sing in Italian is like a singing lesson in itself, because the broad vowels put the voice into the right sort of position. And he said, if you sing anything, you'll sing it better in Italian than you would sing it in an English translation, because it places it for you, and this is perfect.
I would think as well that in an English translation you would get so many words that end with a consonant, whereas in Italian so many of them end with A or O or I
absolutely,
or E, so which must be easier to sing.
I think perhaps arguably the most beautiful spoken language is Russian. And I wondered how Russian sounds when sung, having heard a great deal of it.
A bit obtrusive, I would say.
Charlie Hairpin.
Funny kind of way. A bit obtrusive. It obtrudes on the melody,
but
doesn't it?
There again, I think it so much seems to be a matter of the actual bone structure of the ethnic type, particularly the Russian basses, who can go far lower than basses from further west, have generally that sort of high cheekbones and great resonating caverns which can produce these amazingly low notes.
Arising out of Dennis's point, I'm interested in how languages dictate the melody of music, the feminine endings you mentioned in Italian. There's an example, I've got a little example prepared for you. At the end of One Fine Day from Madame Butterfly, in the English version it finishes, "He will return, I know." And that no is the last high note the soprano sings. But in Italian, of course, it's aspetto. And they've got to get that to in on the end. Here, listen to it, was Vittorio de Los Angeles. How long to give that last little to? It's quite a problem,
and
isn't it?
Actually, in mentioning that, you mentioned one of the most difficult things in pronouncing Italian and after all, Victoria is Spanish and not Italian, because if you say to, Italians say, no, I hear a... You have to project the tongue off the roof of the mouth with a sort of to before they are satisfied.
Watch
with it.
The teeth.
and you get into I will not elaborate on this program the appalling problems
no,
if
please.
You get if you don't give the impression of a double T and give instead a single T, you can. It is the difference between a word of great romantic significance and something rather obscene.
I always think it's rather neat when the introduction to some musical theme carries on under the tune after it starts. For example, Chopin's introduction. Which carries on under the tune. Chopin verses. Here are four similar examples for you to identify, please. Or if you prefer, carry on with the tune. You'll still get a mark. John, here's yours. Yes, it is from...
It's that bit in seven from...
Yes, Rojo Manuel de Falla. That's right, yes. Frank, similar idea. What does this become in the next bar? Ready?
Peanut!
I knew I could rely upon you for that. Much better out than in, I think. Ian, all nice and quiet again. An introduction for you. Who did that?
Oh, yes, it's...
Hello,
Do you know its name?
I don't know. I think I know the name of the composer.
Yes, it would be
Satie.
Satie, yes, I think.
Begins with physical exercise.
Oh, Gymnopédie.
Yeah. Number one, Eric Satie. You just saved your mark. Right.
Thank
Dennis,
you.
Dennis, here's yours.
I can't.
It's
it's
in the Glenn Miller story, isn't
yes.
it? This is gonna farewell. Oh, it's a lovely song, but it's got no words.
What's
is
its
it?
Title? Not farewell, but in Spanish.
Adios.
Yes. I think they all got those. Yeah.
It's quite jolly, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite jolly.
In a glum kind of way.
Let's hear some lovely sopranos, beginning with one of the most magnificent of them, I think, in one of her loveliest arias. Who, John? Singer, I think. Do you know her name?
I don't know who that is.
Shall we give you the first name and you come up with the second name?
Well, maybe.
Jessie.
Jessie? Well, Jessie Norman.
Jessie Norman singing Dove Sono beautifully, I thought. Frank, Mozart again, this time an aria from Don Giovanni. The prima donna's name, I'll give you a hint, she wore a memorable hat in a wedding at St. Paul's. Idea of her.
Beautiful. Yes. Well, the lady who sang at the wedding was Kiri Te Kanawa.
Kanawa.
Not many people know it, but Kiri Te Kanawa is Maori for curry takeaway.
I'm not saying anything. Yes, it was Dame Kiri Te Kanawa. Yeah. Ian, the singer's name, please, her role, if you can, and certainly the name of the opera. difficult, perhaps, the singer.
Yes, I can't give you the singer. The opera is Così fan tutti,
and the
character is Despina, the maid.
That's right. The singer was Eleana Kotrbosch.
Uh-huh.
Dennis sits there patiently wondering which operatic soprano he's going to be called upon to identify. Not to worry. I'm asking you for the name of the lady singing, Dennis. Is it Chet, Ginger, Kenny, Dame Janet, or Hilda? The name.
This is a pointed allusion to my ignorance about singers, isn't it?
No, your general breadth of musical knowledge, Chet Baker. Who knows about Chet Baker?
One day, I'll find a subject you don't know in everything about.
Don't be difficult.
Well, I guess it's Dame Janet.
Yes. Try pigeon racing or the inside
Baker,
of cars
yes,
for me.
Yes,
Dame Janet. Let's just check a memorable word or two from a memorable song or two. John, I don't think you're officially entitled to sing this song, but you might know it. Swing Together and Swear. Where's that come from? Swing Together and Swear. Or even Swing Together and Swear.
Not from Billy Budd, is it?
No, it's not.
The Eton Boat.
It's the Eton Boat. Swing Together and Swear by the Best of Schools. Yes. Did you have a school song?
And the Hay Harvest Breeze.
Yes,
I only ever knew the first line, which was, who are ye, lady, and says what men says, and then I rather flaked out.
So too. It was at Dulwich, wasn't it? Yeah. Frank, another song, nothing to do with schools, I quote, something good will come from that.
Something good.
Something good will come from...
Oh, no, I don't know that one.
Oh,
there's,
yes.
There's another one that...
Yes.
No, can't help. No, never heard it.
The tune begins...
Would you like to take a walk?
Well, yes. Okay, give me that one.
It has that terrible line, gee, would you like a sarsaparilla? Gee, the moon is yellow.
It's actually sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
Yes. Ian, yours comes from a song, En Garde.
En Garde?
Yes, En Garde.
So it's a French song?
Yes.
Yes.
Very.
Yes.
It's very quick, isn't it?
I just wanted you to know I've been paying attention, that was all.
Would you like a hint of a tune?
Yes, I would. Yes, it's one that I've always regarded as just a little too high.
Yes.
So it's never been in my repertoire.
Being the...
The Toreador song from Carmen Bizet.
Right, yes. Dennis, curious line, this. Grabbing at the flies...
Rather sounds like another French song.
A little, yes, just a little.
I don't grabbing up
just
the flies.
Just sit me here grabbing.
Oh yes, it's my in my rocking chair.
Old
rocking
chair.
Hokey Carmichael.
Yes. Anybody in the audience? What follows the line? I can't dance. No, that's I won't dance. Don't ask me. I can't dance, Dennis.
Well, you made it a bit tricky, because it should be, I can't dance.
Yes, why?
Because I got ants in my pants.
Yes, that's thank you for trying anyway. Yeah. Some songs are for listening to, others are for joining in with. Frank's song, for instance, in these closing minutes, is very much for humming along with. In fact, why don't you all hum along as Frank sings?
I have to sing young for this, because it's a youth song.
Right.
Look at Mary. Just watch the ivy on that old garden wall, clinging so tightly, whatever may befall. When I am older, I'll be constant and true, just like the ivy.
John, your turn.
Oft in the stilly night as slumber's chain has bound me, on the memory brings the light of other days around me. The smiles, the tears, the childhood's years, the words of love then spoken, the eyes that shone now dimmed and gone, the cheerful hearts now broken. Thus in the stilly night as slumber's chain has bound me, sad memory brings the light of other days.
Anyone over the age of, say, 40 may need a little glossary where Dennis's song is concerned. It's about something rather no longer available. Can you explain?
Yes, it's about a stuff called... Well, it's another thing that you had oft in the stilly night, actually. It was a patent medicine. It's stuff called Thermogene, which was odorously medicated strips of flannel worn under the pyjamas or shirt, and Weston and Lee so loved the name Thermogene that they wrote a love song to it. Thermogene, Thermogene, my beautiful Thermogene, you're pink and fluffy and soft to the touch, you're the nicest bit of fluff I've seen. Though now and then you've clung to other men, I've not been all I might have been. So when I'm at rest, just lie on my chest and tickle me, Thermogene.
Whenever Ian elects to sing a silly song, as I'm delighted to say he does sometimes, I get hurt letters from people saying, why do you make Ian sing such stuff? Well, I don't make Ian sing such stuff. He does, and I encourage him to. As, for instance, in this good example.
This song, I was always very pleased, because years and years ago, they used to have a thing, they may still have it, called the Classical Record Catalogue. And I looked up my entry in this once, and it had some things like Sozzame, Handel, and Arlecchino, Busoni, and a little single had come out about that time, and the classical catalogue had put it in, and after these Sozzames and Arlecchinos and things like that was, I Can't Do My Belly Bottom Button-Up.
Buttons are a blinking belly nuisance, you'll agree. Buttoning belly buttons is a blinking bore to me. If I had no belly buttons on me clothes, I know I could put more dinners where good dinners always go. Supper is the only decent meal I ever get, and I do enjoy me suppers, by the way. For I undo me buttons, but next morning when I wake, I always call the missus up and say, I can't do my belly bottom button up. I can't do my belly bottom button up. It's so tight, serves me right. I must have eaten too much grub last night. I can't do my belly bottom button up. And though you think it's fun, what's the use of buttoning the other belly buttons when the belly bottom button's undone altogether now? I can't do my belly bottom button up. Can't do my belly bottom button up. It's so tight, serves me right. Must have been too much grub last night. I can't do my belly bottom button. Don't you think it's fun? What's the use of buttoning the other belly buttons when the belly bottom button's undone?
Time to end the show. I notice it's buttons all round this time. A tie. Goodbye.
Heart and My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.